President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court could make her mark for decades.
She's only 48. She could be on the court for a good long time.
We'll look at Judge Amy Coney Barrett's record on the big issues and the fight over her nomination. Plus, President Trump faces new questions about his taxes as he gets ready to debate Joe Biden. And the uncertainty in Washington has Wall Street traders placing new bets.
The smart money thinks that the result of the election could not become clear for a certain amount of time.
It's Monday, September 28th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. President Trump is not saying how much he's paid in federal income taxes, other than, quote, a lot. This stems from a New York Times story reporting the president paid $750 a year in 2016 and 2017, and no income taxes in 10 of the previous 15 years. The president disputed the report.
Fake news. It's totally fake news. Made up, fake. We went through the same stories. You could have asked me the same questions 4 years ago. I had to litigate this and talk about it. Totally fake news. No, actually, I paid tax. And you'll see that as soon as my tax returns. It's under audit. They've been under audit for a long time. The IRS does not treat me well.
During the 2016 campaign, he broke with tradition by refusing to release his returns. He has cited the audits as a reason not to disclose, but there's no law that prevents him from making details public. The new tax questions come on the eve of the first presidential debate. President Trump questioned Joe Biden's health and suggested, without evidence, that Biden is taking performance-enhancing drugs as part of his preparations.
No, not joking. I mean, I'm willing to take a drug test. I think he should, too.
Biden has called the drug allegations, quote, just foolish, and said he looked forward to debating the president. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration's attempt to ban U.S. downloads of TikTok. The ruling is seen as a short-term victory for TikTok and its Chinese owner ByteDance. It allows more time to get approval for a deal which would allow the short video sharing app to become a U.S.-based company, with owners including Oracle and Walmart. TikTok said it was pleased with the court's decision. The U.S. Commerce Department said it will comply with the injunction while defending against other legal challenges. Uber can continue operating in London. It won an appeal today to win back its license there. Regulators previously refused to renew its license after finding what they described as widespread instances of unauthorized drivers using the app to pick up customers. Uber said at the time it had fixed the problem and was allowed to operate during the appeal. Investors are preparing for heavy market volatility around Election Day, our markets editor Quinton Webb explains.
You'll see that across a variety of asset classes, the smart money is positioning for a period of heightened volatility, not just immediately around the election, but also lasting for several weeks or longer after that as well. And this is shown not just in the equity markets, but also if you look, for example, at the currency markets, there's some suggestion that there's expectations that the yen might be volatile. If you look at the treasury markets, there's some sort of abnormalities there as well. And even if you look at the commodity markets, there seems to be kind of heightened demand for gold later in the year. So put these all together and you can see really that investors are bracing for a period of turbulence, if you like, from the beginning of November onwards. Now, we can't use this, I should say, to divine exactly what result people are ultimately expecting. But what it does tell you is that the smart money thinks that the result of the election could not become clear for a certain amount of time. And during that time, markets are going to be very choppy.
Just ahead, the future of the Supreme Court. We'll take a look at what you need to know about Judge Amy Coney Barrett's record and look ahead to the battle over her nomination. President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court appeared at the White House over the weekend. Judge Amy Coney Barrett paid tribute to the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, whose seat she is hoping to fill.
Should I be confirmed, I will be mindful of who came before me. The flag of the United States is still flying at half staff in memory of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to mark the end of a great American life. Justice Ginsburg began her career at a time when women were not welcome in the legal profession. But she not only broke glass ceilings, she smashed them.
But there are many ways their philosophies are quite different. Judge Barrett's legal career will be under the microscope in the weeks ahead, so this is a good time to talk with our justice and judiciary editor, Vivica Novak. Vivica, good to have you here.
Good to be with you, Mark.
I want to start out with the basics. Just who is Judge Amy Coney Barrett, and why are conservatives so enthusiastic about her nomination?
She is a known conservative. She was a clerk for Justice Scalia and has often spoken of him very admiringly. She's been a law professor at Notre Dame, and she has continued to teach while she has been on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. In general, the anti-abortion groups feel very confident that she would be a vote in their favor. Whether she'd overturn Roe v. Wade is unclear, but she is generally not a fan of abortion.
Obviously, abortion is getting a lot of discussion in this conversation, but this is a court that could rule on many different areas, including healthcare, even the 2020 election. What would her presence mean on the court?
Well, she will be the person who gives the conservatives a 6-3 majority on the court. And even if Justice Roberts, who has occasionally sided with the liberals, even if he does that in the future on certain cases, you know, they will still have five conservative votes. So that's one important factor here. She will be probably not a vote in favor of upholding the Affordable Care Act, and that's one of the first arguments the court will hear. It's coming up in November, is a challenge to Obamacare. And Justice Roberts, a couple of years ago, in another court challenge to Obamacare, he voted with the liberals, and she has actually said in a speech that she believes he voted wrong in that case. In fact, he wrote the opinion. She believes he was wrong. So that's one important issue coming up. And of course, the election. None of us really wants to relive the 2000 election, I don't think, which was thrown to the Supreme Court. But it could happen. It could happen. And if it does, you know, there are some trepidations about the 6-3 makeup of the court being certainly not in favor of Joe Biden.
We have an election looming around the corner. Republicans are moving forward, planning to hold hearings the week of October 12th in the hopes of confirming her before Election Day.
So who will this motivate more? How will this affect the election? Really good question. Conservatives generally in the past have been known to be more motivated by the prospect of putting more people on the federal courts, including the Supreme Court. Democrats this time, though, are going to be framing things, I think, in terms of issues. They're going to be talking about the Affordable Care Act, which most Americans are in favor of. Most Americans like it. They'll be talking to some degree about abortion, probably not as much. They'll be talking about the election, though, and what could happen there. They will try very hard to peel off a couple of Republican votes. It's going to be a tough haul. And right now it looks like Mitch McConnell has the votes, and there isn't very much the Democrats can do about it. There may be a few procedural things that can slow things down. But it is really stretching to think that the Democrats, I think, could slow this down, push it after the election, and then perhaps kill the nomination. That's really pie in the sky at this point, it seems.
Both parties feel a sense of urgency here, as this is a lifetime appointment.
Yeah, and particularly her being so young, she's only 48, she could be on the court for a good long time. And it's unclear, you know, there are some other justices who are not that young, but there are a lot who are actually not that old. So, you know, President Trump has made it a point to name people who have probably a good couple of decades at least on the court. There are movements now to, for instance, put term limits on justices. Even if that were to make it through Congress, and that's going to be hard to do, but even if it were to make it through, even if a president were to sign it, it probably wouldn't apply to justices who are already on the court. It probably would be applied going forward. There are also people who talk about expanding the court. Some people call it court packing. That's kind of a derisive term, but expanding the court to, you know, add two more justices or more. That's really a tough lift, but these things are being talked about more than we've heard in quite a long time.
Vivica Novak, thanks again.
Thank you.
And finally, we're almost into October, and for many of us, that means we've been working from home for 6 months. While the kitchen or bedroom office may now feel like part of the norm, some people are getting tired of their homes and setting up elsewhere. We found one couple ditching their San Francisco apartment, opting for a carousel of temporary places, including Montana, Arizona, and Utah. But before you pack up and go, there are some things to consider besides cost. What'll the Wi-Fi be like? Will there be a desk? There's also the time zone issue. Working from Hawaii sounds great, but can you stomach a 3:45 a.m. wake up? We've got tips on how to vet a new remote workspace in our story on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for Monday. We'll be back tonight with an updated show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.